food was consumed and we switched venues, deciding to continue our conversation at the ice cream shop in the same complex. Milos needed his caffeine fix. I really had to be going. Like the gentleman that he was, he walked me back to my car. Unlocking my door, I turned to give him a hug, but he started to lean in. His body language was crystal clear. No, 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 no. I deflected just in time, his lips tapping my cheek as I somehow twisted and landed in the driver's seat, leaving my perplexed foreigner standing outside. He was surprised and not in a good way. Thanks for lunch. Have an awesome rest of your day. I was overly chipper, hoping to put a bandage on the hole I had just poked in his ego. Of course, I will text you, he said hesitantly. He shrugged as I closed my door, buckled my seatbelt, and got the heck out of there. I should have wanted to be kissed by a smoking hot doctor, but I still wasn't sure if I even liked him in that way. Date number 3, another restaurant. I flinched every time he tried to touch me. Date number 4, Eagle Rock Coffee Shop, my anxiety becoming worse and worse. Why do I keep saying yes to these rendezvous? Stupid waste of my time. I was the textbook definition of confused. Date number 5, surprise, we went to dinner again. It was like he was amused by how uncomfortable he was making me, and this was all some sort of joke. But he was also just so freaking hot. Hated him, wanted him, hated that I wanted him. If I asked for your hand in marriage, who would I need to get permission from? Your mother? He inquired, popping a bite of steak in his mouth. What an asshole. If I was a cat, my fur would have been sticking straight up. Too soon, buddy. Too soon, I hissed. Seriously, why in the heck did this guy keep insisting on going out with me? This pattern continued. Him texting me every solid day, trying to see me as much as possible right up until our 7th date. By this point, I really had had it with whatever game he was playing. Milos picked me up for another round of dinner on him. I was in a testing mood. Why do you want to keep seeing me? I asked bluntly. Why not? You're cool. If we stopped hanging out, would you care? Laughing, he ran his right hand through his blonde tresses. Whatever you want. I don't mind. You don't care if we don't hang out anymore? No, whatever you want. We can keep doing this or just have fun. Whatever you like. The side glance he gave me as he delivered this statement said it all. Emphasis on fun. Maybe I was sexually repressed, but I wasn't naive. Having fun meant friends with benefits. He really had misread me if he thought I was that kind of girl. Take me home, please. The mood in the car turned ice cold. Heck, I was the Arctic. Why? What's wrong? Just do it. Milos's cute forehead wrinkled, the freckles getting lost in the folds and creases as he tried to deduce why I was having this sudden change in attitude. He made a U-turn, and as luck would have it, we hit every red light. Silence as I brooded, mentally willing the car to go faster. How did I offend you? I'm not into just having fun. There is something you don't know about me. I am sorry, I do not understand, he proclaimed with total honesty. Could he really be that smart yet that dense? I am a virgin, waiting until marriage, not looking for a hookup. Milos was shocked. His eyes widened at a total loss for words. Tapping his hand against the steering wheel like a drum, I saw his features start to soften.
That is actually very good. I admire that.
Great, now I was getting pity eyes, like I was one of those senile cats at the pound. The one that you pet, but their fur and God knows what else transfers to your hands and you immediately try to find soap and water. It felt like hours before we pulled up to my house. I could not get out of the car fast enough. Bye, Milos, I said, slamming the passenger door. I didn't even look back to see his reaction as I fled to the confines of my safe haven. Even more embarrassing than being a virgin was talking about my virginity, probably making you, the listener, uncomfortable too. If you are absorbing this book on a plane, you might be lowering the volume so the person next to you can't hear what you are listening to. I don't blame you. What do you know? Milos didn't text me that night. He had after every one of our other dates. Always a pleasant, I had a good time, or can't wait to see you again message. Finally, he had gotten the hint. Morning came and went. I worked out my frustration in life on a solo hike. My phone was equally quiet, enjoying nature and the absence of my fingers on its screen. Cooking and I don't mix, but I am excellent at using my debit card. On my way home from my workout, sweaty and surprisingly emotional, I trekked into the closest Whole Foods. As I was loading up my recycled cardboard container at the salad bar, my cell phone dinged. Three guesses who it was.
How are you, Brittany?
I smelled and I was hungry. Besides that, splendid. But instead I responded, good, how are you?
Can I see you this evening?
Actually, I felt kind of bad for my behavior the night before. Whether I liked it or not, Milos was growing on me. Playful, fun, a charismatic optimist who pursued whatever he desired. I just wasn't sure yet if I was attracted to him or the idea of him. I think I can swing something after six-ish. We planned, I prepped. High-waisted mom jeans and crop tops were usually my first choice when I want to gussy up, but I do have a few gowns that are flowy and comfortable. It was 7 p.m. and I had showered, shaved, blow-dried my hair, put on makeup, and a pretty dress. If this was going to be our final, final date, might as well go out in style. Right on the corner from my house was a juice bar. I found a parking spot in the funky, hipster, graffiti-covered lot across the street. Milos was already there, claiming one of the few tables out front. Walking up to him, I noticed that he looked different, tired. Even darker circles ringed his bloodshot eyes, and his coloring was a little more pale than usual. The poor guy looked like he hadn't slept. When he saw me, he stood up, but his smile was strained. Milos actually looked anxious, smoothing the front of his button-down shirt. His actions were self-conscious. The Milos I had known so far had been cocky, bordering on arrogant. It was unsettling to see him more vulnerable.
Thank you for meeting me again.
Yeah, of course. Did you already order? Great. I felt guilty. My abrupt exit from the car last night probably was responsible for his current state of mind.
No, shall we?
He held the door open as we headed inside. I decided on a smoothie, and he stuck to his usual caffeine fix. Conversation was strained. You could tell that he had some things that he wanted to say. His mind was as full as his coffee cup. The breeze felt soothing as we headed back outside with our purchases, sitting down under the awning. Traffic was calming down, but the buzz of the cars in the streets forced us to sit closer if we wanted to converse. Without taking a single sip of his drink, Milos started speaking.
I don't think you understand me, or you misunderstood me. I'm very glad that you agreed to come see me again, because we need to talk.
Huh, Milos was more attractive like this. Real. Humble. In the month prior, I had felt like everything had been superficial. Conversations about his affluence and wealth, but no real moments of connection. No instances where we just conversed on a raw human level. Okay, talk.
I didn't sleep last night. Couldn't sleep. I was trying to figure out what I said to make you change so suddenly,
he admitted. Fine, if he was going to be open about his feelings, I could do the same. Well, I asked you before if you would be sad if we never saw each other again and you didn't seem to care. Then you basically told me that if we just wanted to fool around, you would be cool with that too. My thinking was, why are we even hanging out if you just want to have fun? It's probably for the best if we just end this. He didn't interrupt, but started shaking his head in disagreement, his fire returning.
No, again, you misunderstand me. I only said I wouldn't care if we didn't hang out because I didn't know how you felt. I thought you were being nice and you were only saying yes to see me because you are so nice. And why did you think I wanted to fool around, as you say?
You said we could just have fun if I wanted. Pause. Laughter erupted as he leaned back in his metal chair, giving it his full weight. Some of his original swagger was returning.
I meant we could keep hanging out, having fun, not what you think.
Blushing? Yep, I was blushing. And it was my turn to feel like an idiot. Directly across from the juice bar was the most amazing donut shop on the planet. They approached donuts like sandwiches, where you could cut them in half and customize their inner toppings. Both Milos and I were craving sugar, so we ventured in and walked out with our sweet treats. Myself, something resembling a PB&J. Milos's choice was chocolate everything. We took our desserts to the park a block away. It was mostly empty due to the late hour. Sitting on the ground in front of the slides, I really started to open up. I told Milos about my ex-boyfriend and his shotgun marriage, my dad, his cancer, and the total devastation in his passing. It hadn't been the easiest 5 years for me, and that was probably part of my problem. There had been so much bad, it was hard to accept something or someone that might possibly be good. He opened up as well. His father, Ivan, met his mother at a hotel when they were in their 20s, and they married only 2 months later. By month 3, Zora was pregnant and in love, but she really didn't know Ivan very well. Milos said he looked just like his father, except according to him, his father was better looking. Zora thought that Ivan was a professional athlete. This part was true, as he was an Olympic rower and she was an Olympic runner. Everything seemed fine until she was 6 months pregnant and they were out for dinner one night. According to Milos, his father got a call, pulled out a gun, and left without warning. Turns out that Ivan worked for the Serbian equivalent of our CIA. Milos's father was basically an assassin. Zora decided to divorce Ivan. She felt that having Milos's biological father in his life would not only be unsafe, but a horrible influence. Being the strong woman that she was, Zora raised Milos on her own. His grandfather Misha and Nikola helped with what they could. I could see the pain in Milos's eyes when he described growing up without a father. His life wasn't as rosy and perfect as he first painted it to be. Sitting in the park, my fingers sticky from the donut glaze, he had finally won me over. It wasn't his good looks, money, or education that tipped the scales. It was his honesty and his kindness. Milos was attentive, listening to the pains of my past. He was smart, giving good advice and a word of solace when needed. He was open about his own misfortunes. Finally, he was genuine. "It is getting late. You want to hang out at my house for a bit?" I asked. The time on my screen read midnight. Time flies when you're falling in love. We both stood up and Milos grabbed our food boxes, discarding them in a trash can towards the entrance. I started pointing out the weird piñatas at the party store, the owner unaware that Twilight is no longer current. We made small talk as we strolled. Shyly, he took my hand, holding it as we headed toward the general direction of our respective cars. When we arrived at my mode of transportation, he let go with a squeeze. "I will follow you, yes? Forget where I live already? I didn't sleep. I may need assistance." We both laughed, got into our vehicles, and made the short drive to my dwelling. I decided to tease him again as we walked hand in hand to my door. "You know you aren't going to have any fun tonight, right?"
"With you, I may never have any fun."
Point, Milos. Ask anyone close to me, and the two things I look for in a guy are 1, kindness, 2, humor. Looks come and go, but a sense of humor is forever. He seemed perfectly at home, sitting next to me on my flea market sofa in my living room, our fingers still intertwined as our words did the same. Even though I had realized I had a very serious crush on him, I love my beauty rest, so I wasn't looking to stay up all night talking.
"You're kind of great and all, but I'm kicking you out."
"Why? You don't need sleep."
"No, but you do. Have you looked in a mirror?"
Some blonde stubble was visible as he scratched his chin, contemplating my words.
"I don't need sleep. I just need you."
The look he gave me was intense and hungry. It was the kind of look that makes your stomach churn and gives you goosebumps. Milos wanted to kiss me, but I knew he wasn't going to make the first move. My violent jerking like he was diseased every time he had tried to touch me in the past probably didn't help. Might as well just put it out there.
Do you want to kiss me?
Pause. He smiled, smug and sexy. Taking his left hand, he gently tucked the hair on my face behind my ear. Milosh placed his other hand on my waist and drew me in.
Was it a good kiss?
Hell yes. The kind that makes time stop. The kind of kiss where you have to remind yourself to breathe.
Milosh pulled away first, a goofy grin lighting up his face.
So you're my girlfriend, right?
I'm sure my face looked equally ridiculous. A mirror image to his sappy mug.
Okay.
Chapter 4. Moving in. Well, I was screwed. I was totally head over heels to the moon and back in love with Milosh. For a while, I thought I was incapable of love. Not the kind of love that you have for a family member or a friend. The romantic kind of love that you can live on. You don't need anything but to drink in that other person, eat up every second you spend in their presence. I was finally living my own love story. Now I understood the adage, it was like I had known them my whole life. The only word to describe it was fate. We became so comfortable so fast. I stopped wearing makeup around him. He mostly dressed in workout clothes. Milosh made me feel beautiful even when my hair was messy and my face was just my face. August 20th, 2015. The exact day I knew I loved him. I'm not some sort of savant who is extra gifted at remembering dates, but it was 4 days before my birthday. 24 minus 4 equals 20. I am excellent at math. And exaggeration. Milosh and I met at the end of June, and I resisted him most of July, but by early August, we were officially an item, and it was bliss. He was still living in San Diego at the time and driving up every night just so he could see me. The first few weeks that we were official, we would grab food, make out, and talk until dawn. My very sleepy doctor would reluctantly leave, making it back just in time for his shift at the ER. Probably not the safest thing, since I'm not sure if his patients were getting a well-rested, on-his-game medical professional. It might have been selfish, but I was willing to take whatever time I could get. The more he came and went, the more I felt his absence. I wanted him to stay. Having a long-distance significant other was starting to wear on my nerves. My boyfriends in the past had spent the night. It wasn't my favorite thing, usually them trying to pressure me into sex, wanting to cuddle, and being a general pain in the ass when I tried to get them out in the morning. Everything about this relationship was different. Milosh would send me cute selfies during our time apart. Him in medical scrubs, a typical blue, sometimes a funny meme about Game of Thrones, or an inside joke. Post-workout selfies that I wanted to print out, taped to the outside of my house, and yell, "That's my boyfriend!" every time someone walked past. His communication was constant and reassuring. Had I found my person? I sure hope so. He was perfect and he was mine. We had spent many a night together, but always in our regular clothing. Never getting to the point of sharing the same bed, even for something as innocent as just to snooze. Lounging in my backyard on one of my many crooked steps, these sentiments consumed me as my head rested on his shoulder, his hand draped on my thigh. We usually didn't get to see each other until late at night, so this day was unique. My three large orange trees were loaded, screaming for us to remove some of the fruit weighing down their branches. The rest of the space was a pile of neglected rock and dirt. The back of my house had three tiers. The highest level, while towering over the house, only really gifted you with a view of power lines and pollution. To my right and left were my neighbors, both large, loud Hispanic families that I adored. If you want any kind of land in LA, make sure that you are wealthy and that you have a trust fund to finance the insane property taxes. I was lucky to have any kind of extra dirt beyond the actual dwelling structure to call my own. Even if my neighbors could see in my windows on both sides. Each year I saved and financed certain upgrades. A redwood fence and iron gates year one. Year two, built an entertainment center in the back bedroom and cubbies in the living room. The backyard still needed work, but the fruit trees came with the house. They were almost dead when I finally was given the keys. My first purchase was a 50-foot hose at the hardware store. You should have seen me. It was a Sunday, and I had gone straight from church to my new home. The previous owner had stopped watering the poor creatures a few weeks earlier, and L.A. was in a severe drought. I took one look at the curling leaves, didn't bother changing, and ruined a pair of cute boots building berms around the tree's parched edges, saturating their tired and thirsty roots with my new hose. I had saved those trees' lives, and they were grateful, flourishing with water and sunshine. We had a fruitful relationship, the trees and I. Pun intended. Speaking of fruit, there is nothing better than a tree-ripened orange. Milos and I had selected a particularly large one and sat consuming the contents, the juice making our fingers sticky. Debating on grabbing another, I looked over at the man beside me. He had a thing for designer sneakers. They were always brand new and a spectrum of varied colors. Today, he was rocking an all-white pair. His new kicks complemented the gray sweats and the loose white t-shirt. Looking up, his hair was still wet and messy. Milos had asked if he could take a shower the moment he had arrived, sticky from humidity and the long drive. I fantasized about what it would be like to be in the shower with him.
Things are getting good now, huh? Keep listening, you perv. Winky face.
I hate when you leave, I proclaimed, observing his reaction. Being in a semi-long-distance relationship was testing my strength. If you know me very well, you also know that I struggle with patience.
I know, me as well, but you live here and I live there.
True, but it was driving me totally nuts. Something had to be done. You should stay the night. Actually start getting some sleep before driving back. It makes no sense that you keep coming and going. I want to wake up and you're still here. That is only if you want, totally up to you, no pressure. It is just a thought.
I intended for that to come out smoother. If this was football, I fumbled. The words exiting my mouth increased with speed and I was practically blurting. My whole body tensed, hoping and dreading his response at the same time.
Milos was with me any spare moment he had, which should have been a pretty good indication about how he felt. But that man wasn't always easy to read. His nonchalant attitude towards life left me confused more often than not. A friend once told me that whoever cared the least had the most power in a relationship. Milos had all the power, and I was helpless to his pull. You could see him thinking about what I had just proposed, his teeth biting his lower lip, mulling it over. Finally, coming to some sort of conclusion, he smirked, one of his many flirtatious little grins.
You want me to stay the night?
Trying to make up for my blubbering, I switched to cool, casual Brittany. You need to get some sleep. Why not here? When it came to sex, I had made it clear to him that I was waiting until marriage. He knew where I stood on things. I trusted him. What's the harm? That's what I kept telling myself.
My aunt can take care of Louis. She loves him. If she can, then do you want me to stay tomorrow night?
His house in San Diego that he was renting was owned by his Aunt Mary. Like any dog parent, his main concern was who was going to walk his puppy and feed him while he was away. If she doesn't mind, then yeah, you should.
You'll know how I love my pussy.
Milos's nickname for his bulldog was Pussy, which was ironic because he was a boy and his balls were intact. Rolling my eyes at his typical male comment, I tried to wipe my sticky orange juice hands on his face as he pinned my wrist to my sides, kissing me. It was kind of precious how much he loved his dog and made sure he was taken care of. According to Milos, he had paid a breeder $4,000 for Louis. Ridiculous if you ask me. There were perfectly good animals all over L.A. in shelters that needed adopting. Milos wanted the Louis Vuitton of pets. Not just because of his breed, but the bragging rights that went along with this price tag and pedigree. If Mary could help out, Milos had agreed to stay the night. My heart was like a pogo stick, jumping up and down with joy. The hottest man I had ever met was my boyfriend, adored me, and our relationship was steadily progressing. Could I get any luckier? We spent the rest of the evening talking. Milos never failed in having some new story to share about his family, his friends, or his business dealings. He was a visual person, always pulling out his cell phone or laptop to access a photo that went with his tale, or searching for a website or an article that coincided. We had yet to watch a movie or need anything else to entertain us but our voices. When we were together, it was enough. Back to August 20th. I woke up with 2 hours sleep under my belt. The moment my eyelids parted, I just knew. I always asked my mom, "How do you know when you are in love?" Her response was always, "You just know." I found this answer frustrating, wanting a formula or some sort of instructional manual. But she was right. When you know, and I just knew. The following morning, I had an early flight to New York. Sometimes I get paid to speak at client events, brands that want to know more about YouTube and how to properly execute an integration with an influencer. Influencer sounds better than YouTuber, so it's often used to describe someone in my field of expertise. Milos was going to finally spend the night and drive me to the airport the next morning. Most of the day was spent packing and working, the normal chaos that materializes anytime there are pending travel plans. Before I knew it, it was 10 p.m. I was still tying up loose ends when my doorbell rang. More like screeched, my doorbell was as ancient as the house. Fashioned like an old school bell, it was as big as it was obnoxious. A silver, round, annoying piece of metal. When it started clanging, I jumped from my bed and almost dropped my laptop. Startled, but instantly excited. Milos. Smoothing out my perfectly styled hair, I practically ran to the front door. I was breathless, energized, and pulled the brass door handle, swinging it wide to reveal my tall foreigner. His black tank top and basketball shorts, sexy but casual. A gym bag with his overnight stuff resting on one shoulder. "Hi," I said, smiling, suddenly nervous. "Hi." Milos had an air of intensity. Something was different about him. Swinging his bag from his shoulder, he set it on the floor, closing the door behind him. He turned, pinning me with this look. Predatory. Without speaking, he took the few steps needed to bridge the gap between us. His hands found their way to my hips, and he started to kiss me, slowly backing me up against the wall. I think he knew what was coming before I did. My mind said, "Slow down, stick to the plan," but my body said, "Don't stop, keep going." His calloused hand went under my shirt and slowly up my back to where my bra was connected, resting against the back buckle, but stopping there. The more he didn't try to unstrap my bra, the more I wanted him to. "Are you thirsty?" Milos asked, backing up, breaking the moment, acting like the last few minutes didn't just happen. What a tease! He had me against a wall, kissing me like his life depended on it, and now he wanted water? It instantly made me frustrated and insecure. "No, I'm good. You go ahead." Milos made his way into the kitchen while I stayed put. The familiar sound of my cabinet opening, him removing a glass, and pouring water from a jug. I quickly checked my hair in the mirror above my fireplace. He returned moments later, cup in hand. His tank top was now off. My cheeks reddened as he leaned against the kitchen doorway, his top flung casually over his shoulder. This was the first time I had seen him half-naked in person. Tan skin only accentuated the lines of muscles. Veins wandered over his arms and crept up the lines from his shorts. He could have been Chris Hemsworth's body double, and that was saying something. Stunned into gibberish, I made some stupid comment. "Is it too hot in here? I can turn it down." Milos laughed as he walked towards me, taking a drink from his cup and eyeing me with calculation. "The temperature is fine," he said as he approached. My heart started to pound. Stopping inches from me, his eyes pinned me to the wall. With his free hand, his fingers caressed my elbow, running down my arm to intertwine his hand in mine. Oh, holy goosebumps. He pivoted and guided me towards the bedroom. Releasing my fingers in his grasp, he turned off the chandelier light above my bed. My room was still illuminated from the full moon peeking through my curtains. Milos set down his glass on my antique dresser. Normally, I would have made him put down a coaster, because the glass would leave a ring on the old wood. In that moment, my house could have been flooding, and I wouldn't have cared. Whatever Milos focused on, he gave it his full attention. Be it a person, a thought, or an action, his focus shifted from the water and was back on me. Closing the gap between us, this kiss was more passionate, more intense. Both of his hands slowly started to raise my shirt, his palms sliding up my back, once again resting on my bra strap. This time, he unsnapped it. I didn't stop him. He continued lifting my blouse, raising my arms as he pulled it over my head and discarded it on the bare floor, taking my bra with it. I didn't stop him. Placing my hands on his waistband of his shorts, he guided them down over his hips until his shorts slid off. I didn't stop him. He was totally and unashamedly naked, kissing my neck as he removed the remaining fabric clinging to my skin. If my house wasn't hot before, it was now. Now, I'm going to throw some ice on this and let you guys cool down because this is not 50 Shades of Grey. I don't want to describe in detail how I lost my virginity because my kids will read this eventually, but I was 32 and finally in the sexually active club. Milos was gentle and experienced, and it was everything that your first time should be. Lying in bed afterwards, I didn't feel any different. I didn't feel guilty. I only felt at peace, like I had been at war with myself and my beliefs for so long, and now I was finally letting go. If God was going to be mad at me, let him be mad. It was worth it. Milos post-sex was like a lion that had just devoured an antelope, content but still dangerous. His naked body crawling out of bed to grab the sweating water glass still resting on my dresser. My hair was now a crazy mess as I rolled to my side and watched him. Even his butt was a work of art, muscled and tan where it should have been white. The smug son of a bitch stood there slowly downing the ice water, obviously proud of himself. You planned this. I received a cocky smile as he said, I don't know what you're talking about, Brittany. Putting the now empty cup down, he laughed and grabbed his basketball shorts, sliding them back on. The water, this. You always get thirsty after sex? Laughing, he crawled back into bed, joining me once again under the sheets. It felt natural as I put my head on his chest, his large arms circling me in a protective embrace. He kissed the top of my head as I listened to his heartbeat. Still elevated from what had transpired, before I knew it, without thinking, I just said it. I love you. Silence. Milos froze. I didn't dare look up at him, afraid of what his expression would tell me, but I had to say it. If I didn't, I was going to burst. A long pause before Milos turned my chin, forcing me to look up at him. I avoided making eye contact, terrified of what I might see, worried that I had just made a terrible mistake. I love you too. Four words. Four words, and my life was forever changed. When I finally glanced into his beautiful blue eyes, they were tender. The look he was giving me confirmed it, chasing all my previous doubts away. I wasn't just some virgin he wanted to conquer. I was someone he loved, and it wasn't just sex, it was more. Milos fell asleep holding me that night. I found that cuddling while sleeping is highly overrated. Man, was I uncomfortable. His body was too warm and my bed was too small, but I couldn't bear pushing him away. Before I knew it, my 6 a.m. alarm was blaring, ordering me to get moving and not miss my plane. We held an easy silence that morning, both of us lost in our own musings. He joined me in the shower, sleepy as he massaged my back, the water running down us and pooling at our feet. Milos made me breakfast, if you could call it that, a few slices of toast on a paper towel as we rushed out to his car. Heading down the 405 freeway, he was still unusually quiet. The lack of conversation was starting to make me uncomfortable. Was he having doubts about me? Did I not do something right? When he finally had all my clothes off, did he not like what he saw? Spin, spin, spin. My thoughts were a hamster wheel, and I was the hamster. I think everyone's worst nightmare is that when they finally do the deed, whoever they were just intimate with will reject them. Totally exposed, they will see the weird mole on your shoulder or how your ribs show because of an insane metabolism and be turned off. I'll admit it, I had spent a fair amount of time on Google beforehand, researching to see a male perspective on the matter. What was the reoccurring theme that kept popping up as to what guys want when it comes to a hookup? Be into it. Don't be self-conscious. Nothing is sexier than enthusiasm. Was I just a booty call, or did we just have a bad connection? Wait, was I about to be hung up on, aka dumped? Milos dropped me off at LAX with a quick kiss, a tight smile, and he was off. Great. Finally slept with the guy, and now that he got what he wanted, he was no longer interested. My mom always said, why buy the cow when you can get the milk for free? I was coconut milk, and maybe he was a 2% kind of guy. He said he loved me, but words are words, and actions speak louder. Plane, New York, panel, taxi, hotel, laptop. Write a script, wait for Milos to text me, room service, check my phone again, more writing, panic, start to cry, rationalize, stop crying, hope, no hope. Around midnight, New York time, Milos finally texted me. How was your flight? That was it? Not a I miss you or last night was amazing, when are you getting back message? Lame. I was pissed and hurt and exhausted. Tears streamed down my face, burning with shame, which was only making me angrier. My mascara stung when mixed with my tears, so he wasn't entirely to blame for my eyeballs being on fire. This is when the true guilt set in. I had waited for so long for the right guy, the right timing, and for what? To be casually brushed off? I felt like what happened was a big deal. I gave him something more than sex. I gave him my heart, and he was playing games. Fine, thanks, I typed, pain pooling in my chest. The text bubble with dots line lit up my phone screen, indicating that he was replying. He kept typing, stopping, typing again. I expected a long message for the anxious minutes Milos kept me waiting, but all I got in return was, have a good night. One solid thing about me is my pride. If he wanted to be done with me, then be done. It might take some time for me to bounce back from this one, but I would bounce back. I am the kind of person you want to be around during a zombie apocalypse. My will to succeed has always been greater than my fear. I am a survivor. Cue Destiny's Child. You're kidding, right? Whatever, Milos. It was fun, but don't contact me again. Maybe a tad bit dramatic, but warranted. My finger was holding the off switch when my phone rang. It was him, of course, but there was no way I was going to answer. My mind was made up as to what needed to be done. He called again, I sent it to voicemail. Third time wasn't a charm. Again, I let it chime and chime without picking up. Why aren't you answering your phone? He texted. Okay, so he wasn't getting the message. Maybe I should hop on a call. Clear the air, clean break, tell him to go fudge himself. Not a typo, I did actually intend to type the word fudge. Can't stop, won't stop. The fourth time I answered, wanting to get this over with. Hi, Milos. Hello, Brittany. How are you? I grabbed my eye makeup remover and put him on speaker, the tears no longer because of him. My smeared mascara was causing serious irritation to my corneas. Look, no need to drag this out. You got what you wanted, now stop calling me because it is late in New York and I have an early flight to catch. He started laughing, his chuckles even more annoying from the echo through the speaker. You're laughing? Joke's on you, we're done. As I went to hit the red end call button, I heard him sobering, but his voice was still full of amusement as he spoke. Come now, Brittany, can we talk, please? I think you misunderstand me. I have had a hard day. The award for most perplexing man on the planet goes to Milosh. Applause, crown, him wearing a sash that reads, King of Indirectness. I am going to bed. We can talk tomorrow. He was silent, choosing his next words with care.
You don't understand me, Brittany. We need to talk when you arrive. Tomorrow is your flight. Can I pick you up? Take you out to dinner? There is much we need to discuss. Things have been stressful.
Maybe, just maybe, I was overreacting. My no longer virgin status was making me sensitive, and all these new feelings were a lot to process. I get in at 10:30. We'll text you the info, but I really need to go to sleep. It's 3 a.m. here.
I understand. Good night, Brittany.
Night, Milosh, I said, relieved and now intrigued. What did he need to tell me? Great, now I couldn't sleep. My brain kept playing different scenarios, imagining what could be causing his stress. I rolled from one side to the other, trying to get comfortable in my trendy Manhattan hotel bed. Maybe the drive was getting to be too much, or we really were breaking up and he wanted to be a gentleman and do it in person. The one good thing about lack of sleep is that your emotions start to go numb, eventually. A catatonic version of myself somehow hailed a cab and made it to the airport. Milosh had received the info for my flight. He had texted some other very generic responses. See you soon. Call me when you arrive. But at this point, I was really too tired to make small talk. Thankfully, I finally got a solid 5 hours of rest on the plane ride back. I woke up to the captain announcing our descent into L.A. A lot of people complain about the zoo that is LAX airport, but I have always found it comforting. Each person I passed in the busy terminal that day was a reminder of just how vast and diverse the world really is. There are a lot of fish in the sea, and maybe I had just caught myself a shark. Take out the hook, throw him back, try again. Milosh was waiting for me at arrivals, his sleek sports car newly washed. Sauntering around the curb, he looked sexy and relaxed. What do we have here? A new haircut and dress shoes complemented his dark denim and white-collared button-down shirt. In my limited dating experience, when a guy gets a haircut and washes his car before seeing you, he's interested. Okay, maybe I had been overreacting. Greeting me with a smile and a warm hug, but no kiss, he guided me into the passenger seat.
How was your flight? He asked, not a care in the world.
Slept most of the way. You didn't have to pick me up. Shifting his car into drive, he reached over to hold my hand.
Don't be crazy. It is my pleasure.
Hot, cold, hot, cold. This guy was worse than the faucet in my first Hollywood apartment.
Can you take me home? I have a lot to catch up on.
Driving from the airport to my house, depending on the state of the freeways, could take anywhere from 30 minutes to 2 hours. We got lucky by some miracle and breezed right through. Pulling into my driveway in under an hour? Heavenly. How was the car ride? Awkward.
Are you hungry?
He asked, sitting down next to me on my vintage couch, like we always did.
Maybe in a bit. I might have had too many bags of peanuts on the plane.
He laughed, hugging me to his chest. His hand started to massage my scalp. I was practically purring as his strong fingers eased out the tension I had been holding.
Did you know that I had a plane ticket home when I first met you?
He said, quiet, tentative.
News to me.
No, I didn't.
The moment you walked up to the coffee shop, it was only you. I loved you from the moment I saw you.
Wow, his English was improving, and great, now I wanted to cry. That was by far the most romantic thing anyone had ever said to me. Thank you, was all I could mutter, my lower lip trembling. So many feels.
I had the ticket back to Serbia, but then there was you, so I changed my ticket to a few weeks later. You probably thought I was crazy wanting to see you every day, but there was no time to waste, and I had to be sure. My mother's business partner, my family, was counting on me returning. Nikola and Zora need me in Serbia to help run everything. Without me, things fall apart.
I didn't talk. I just hugged him and listened.
Brittany, I have decided to stay. I love you. I had to be sure you loved me, too. After what happened, you know, a few nights ago, there was no way I could leave now, but Nicola and my mom are very, very angry. They don't understand why I'm throwing away everything for some girl. I know how incredible you are, but they just don't understand. My family has been sending me $35,000 a month while I've been here, but that is done now. I choose you, so they are cutting me off.
This is where I could step in and help. My family had been well off until my dad was forced into early retirement because of a serious heart condition, atrial fibrillation. Overnight, his salary was cut in half. There were no more weekend trips, family vacations, or extra spending money. Groceries, school, and life essentials, that was it. I watched my parents refinance their house, max out every credit card, and work every odd job they could to keep us from totally drowning in debt. My father got his real estate license, securities license, and started selling timeshares, while my mom learned how to use a computer and sold anything that wasn't nailed down on eBay. I knew what it was to have money, not have money, and then have money again. It was a blessing in disguise because it taught me how to be smart with my purchases. I am so sorry, but we will get through this. Your family will come around, but in the meantime, I can help you. What are your monthly expenses? The corner of his eyes crinkled, his earlier facade crumbling, and the true amount of pressure he was under started to show. Disappointing his family added even more strain beyond financial. I have the apartment in Beverly Hills, but that is prepaid in advance for the next 6 months. My other apartment in Marina del Rey, the lease on my car. San Diego, I have my house there, but I am renting from my aunt. Those are the main things. The guy had three different places to live? No wonder he was burning through cash. You need to let two out of the three places go. Your place in Beverly Hills, do you think you can get any of the money back? His grin was decidedly bitter as he said, I can try, but the man that owns it only leased it to me because I prepaid. You see, I am a foreigner with no credit. People like to take full advantage when you have no credit. Before Milos had mentioned his grandmother in the Hollywood Hills, it would make more sense for him to crash at her place when he was in town and ditch Beverly Hills and Marina del Rey. San Diego should be his main residence because it was minutes to his work. As much as I wanted him close, I cared more about what was best for him. The rest of the night was spent consoling and brainstorming. It was an awful feeling, even though it was out of my control, that I might have possibly caused a divide between Milos and his family. They wanted him to be their golden boy, closing deals, stirring up more work, with his good looks and natural charm. He wanted to be a doctor, wanted his medicine, and he didn't want their legacy. He craved his own. Whatever storm his defiance was going to bring, we were going to weather it together. Because he was worth it. Chapter 5. Louis.
I know, my last chapter was titled Moving In, and Milos didn't move into my house quite yet, but it was getting long-winded, and my solution was to start a new chapter. This is my first book, so I am new to this whole tell-your-life-story thing. Imagine holding a pair of scissors as you cut me some slack. Those were the events that did lead to his stuff intermingling with mine. I have mentioned his dog Louis a little bit in the previous pages, but I don't think I have stressed enough how much he loved his pussy. That dog was like his child. Every third photo in his camera roll was of him. My text messages from Milos always included a daily Louis photo or video. They were a package deal, and I was okay with it. I have always loved animals, growing up with a ton of pets, so it felt almost weird to be in Los Angeles and not having some living creature invading my space. Milos was becoming a regular at my house and in my bed, but he was still having the long drive to San Diego to see his pussy, so I came up with a pussy plan. Step one of plan, invite Louis to live with me. Step two of plan, invite Milos to live with me. Step three of plan, get married, have children, grow fat and old together. I had to be careful and hide the true motives of step one and two with the hope that step three was also where Milos saw our relationship headed. Just because I was ready for him to put a ring on it didn't mean he was ready to spend a small fortune on metal and compressed carbon. On one of my typical extremely strenuous hikes, I decided to put Operation Pussy into action. I am now going to stop using the word pussy because you are either laughing or annoyed. I tend to have that effect on people. Hey love, how are you and Louie today? I typed into my phone screen, send, wait. Of course, he instantly replied with a cute photo of the dynamic duo. Milos had his arm around Louis's head, who I swear was smiling as big as his owner. Handsome boy, I want a dog.
You have a dog. What is mine is also yours.
In that case, I have an idea. Here goes nothing. Why am I flustered? I was asking his dog to move in, with the obvious intention of getting him to move in, but still. What if we tried Louis staying with me? You wouldn't have to keep leaving him at your aunt's house. You wouldn't have to keep driving all the time just to take care of him, only when you need to for work. Thoughts? Instantly, he was typing, wasting no time in his response.
You want to try?
Yes! I dropped my backpack and started dancing, fist pumping the air. If another hiker had come upon me in that moment, it probably would have looked like I was getting attacked by some insect. My phone dinged again.
When do you want me to bring him?
We arranged for his puppy to switch houses that coming Saturday. Work was busy for me that week, so it would give me the weekend to really be able to get him settled into his new surroundings. Hello, PetSmart. Expensive, no-grain, meat-only food? Check. Dog bed, bowls, toys? I went out and bought everything that I was going to need and more. Have to say, I'm kind of the best roommate ever. Two-legged or four, you want to live with me. All over my social media, I hinted at getting a pet. Milos and I had officially been an item for over 4 months, but I had been keeping our relationship secret. You see, I had involved my YouTube audience in two of my past relationships, and the experience left me wary. The problem is that internet strangers get attached. Viewers only get to see a glimpse of your lives as a couple and your daily interactions. The content creator is controlling the narrative. Going to a party together, kissing, sweet moments, edited together with appropriate music. The audience is unaware of the fighting behind the scenes. That is, if you're smart enough not to let them in. And when you break up, all hell breaks loose. Like a dam that has failed, in comes the flood of tweets, harsh comments, and general confusion that comes with a normal breakup times 1,000. Been there, done that, twice. Learned my lesson twice. Therefore, it was too hard to explain to my subscribers, hey guys, been dating a hot doctor for months. He has a dog. The dog isn't mine, just staying with me. Okay, bye. It was a lot easier just to say, I'm getting a dog. Saturday had arrived, and Milos gave me a buzz, letting me know that they had as well. I rushed outside to meet my new stepson. Even with the car doors closed, I heard a loud panting rumbling from behind the tinted windows. Milos exited and ran around, giving me a hug and a quick kiss before throwing open the back end. There was Louie, the cutest and fattest English bulldog I had ever seen. He was mostly white with a smattering of black spots, a gigantic pink tongue dipped in and out as he panted away. Louie was like a Disney cartoon character that needed to join Weight Watchers. Adorable, but one too many bagels in the morning. Louie, come, get out. Milos tugged on Louie's body harness attached to his Batman leash. He swore that Louie loved Batman. Again, he thought Louie was human. It took quite a bit more tugging before Milos gave up and lifted him out of the car, struggling with his weight as he plopped him on the ground. What have you been feeding this beast? I asked, more teasing than scolding.
Everything. I can't resist my little boy.
Look at those eyes. How do you resist those eyes?
Milos baby talked to his 75-pound animal as I watched with amusement. He would be a good father someday. Trusting me with his most prized possession, Milos handed me the leash, encouraging me to take Louis into the house as he grabbed a few old tennis balls, Louis's favorite, from the back seat. Struggling up the steps, I got Louis into the house and took off his harness, willing him to explore his new domain. What did he do? Lay down, exhausted by the 20 feet from my tires to my floors. In came Milos, attempting to get Louis to play fetch. Not budging, he kept his wrinkled, adorable face lying on the ground as he lazily tried to grab the tennis balls with his mouth, only when they rolled close enough so that it would take minimal effort. Louis was only 2 years old and acting like he was on his last legs. Sorry, little guy. Your new mom is putting you on a diet. Milos feigned being offended.
Do not listen to her.
It was good to see him smiling. Only a few nights earlier, Milos was over and took a call from Nicola. He went so far as to step outside to shield me from its severity. Even through my pained windows, I could hear his honorary relative yelling through the speaker in muffled Serbian. Milos, silent, taking the verbal onslaught and trying to gently reason with him. Zora wasn't speaking to Milos in general. Their last phone call had been weeks prior. It wasn't my choice that Milos stayed in the United States to date me. It was his, but I felt responsible for his current strife. I even suggested that he go home for a while, smooth things out, and make sure this is what he really wanted. He vehemently refused. Another stupid saying was stuck in my mind. If you love someone, set them free. I was willing to set him free, even if it meant my heart being forever trapped under his spell. I did my best to support him. My repeated advice to Milos was, love them anyways, respect them, they will come around, but it is your life. His stress wasn't just coming from his family, but also from work. Milos had quit his job at the ER in San Diego for a potentially bigger opportunity in Orange County. His friend Dr. Lancaster was the head of the surgery department at FHH Medical Center in Irvine and wanted Milos to start working in his laboratory. This would pretty much guarantee him a general surgery residency. All he had to do was finish his medical board exams by December, and he could start his position in January. A huge financial relief for Milos because even as a resident, he would be earning a solid living. And the hospital was only 45 minutes from his current house in San Diego, and even better, it was roughly the same distance from mine. Compared to a 2.5-hour drive, that was an improvement. Louis and I were kissed and then ditched, while our favorite person headed to meet with Dr. Lancaster, a.k.a. Joe. They were going to have a boys' lunch with other doctors from the hospital. The best networking is just to make friends. People like to work with who they know, so I encouraged him to go and mingle his little MD heart out. My normally quiet house was suddenly filled by Louis's wheezing. English bulldogs have a hard time breathing in general, and his weight wasn't helping. I had some editing that I needed to finish on a video, so I left Louis within my sight in the dining room area and headed into my office. As I was plodding away, what do you know? Louis lazily got up and brought me his tennis ball. A slow and steady waddle proceeded until he reached my desk. Dropping it, panting away, his eyes said, "We'll throw it already." I obliged, tossing it less than 10 feet back into the dining area. He turned, waddled, wheezed, picked it up, waddled back, dropped it. We played fetch for the next few hours with many breaks in between. I didn't get much accomplished, but it was a pleasant distraction. My phone dinged and dinged, his worried pet father checking on how things were progressing. I assured Milos that his girls were getting along just fine without him, an ongoing joke as Louis was anything but female. That night, Milos came back from his meeting and stayed over. When he arrived, Louis was already tucked in, snoring on his new bed in the kitchen, completely worn out from his slow-paced exertion. My boyfriend usually had trouble sleeping. Tension surrounding his life and life decisions overwhelming him when the day turned to darkness. But with Louis in my home and seeing him settled and happy, it was like Milos finally found some peace. Little did I know that I got both step one and step two of my plan in one fell swoop.
Now that Louis was a permanent fixture, Milos started staying every night after that. More and more of his clothes were accumulating at my house to the point that I gave him a few shelves in my closet. We didn't discuss Milos moving in. It just happened. But that didn't mean we got to see each other more. If anything, it was less. He had cut his monthly costs dramatically, but he still had bills to pay. His sports academy wasn't doing as well as he had hoped because a few of the tennis pros working